got swords. Bring your sword today. I like people bring their sword. And what's really cool now is the iPhones go up in the air. See the iPhone over here? And because they got their Bible on there. That's what we think anyway. We hope they're not texting, you know, and checking stuff out. So this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First place we want to camp out today is Mark the second chapter. Mark the second chapter. We're talking about getting a faith lift and persevering faith. And if we have time, I want to show you about two or three little stories we'll go through and look at that where Jesus gave a model. Because I think when we look at something in the Scripture and we really examine it, we can build our faith because this made the Scripture. I've been listening to the Catholic channel recently, and it's pretty interesting, really. And they talk about all kinds of stuff and faith and how Pope John Paul the this and, you know, all the, these different popes and how they write in their little articles and things as they pray. And just been really encouraging to me just to hear, you know, some of their history and hear some of their things. But they talk a lot about just walking by faith. And so it's kind of connected with me doing this series, I guess. But this is and they were talking about what made the Scripture and what didn't. And why it didn't and why it made Scripture and how the popes had the mind of God on this and the people put the Scripture together. And I thought, we believe this. This is the infallible Word of God. And so we're looking at stories today where people exercised their faith and they were just like you and I. They weren't some kind of supernatural hero in the faith. They were just normal people that had needs that we're going to look at and they exercised their faith. I want to show you today is the substance of their faith. Because, you know, how many knows if you just wish for something, it's there's not much substance there in there, you know. People's going to win the lottery, right? There's not much substance there, is there? Your name's in the pot, I guess, if you play the lottery, but there's not much substance. It says, I've heard people say that you're more likely to be struck two or three times by lightning than win the lottery. You understand that, right? And I, you know, I'm not a stickler for that. I mean, you know, if you put a couple of bucks in the lottery and you dream during the week, you know, I guess that's okay. That, boy, what would we do if, you know? I guess a portion of it goes to the schools, right? Keeps our school teachers and a job, I guess. But you know, that's not faith, is it? That's probably more about want or having something. And here's the thing about gambling, when you're talking about putting our faith versus something like that could come to you, what really is the difference between faith and gambling is, you know, gambling is where one person wins that don't deserve it at the loss of everybody else that shouldn't have been doing it. Are you with me? So when you're trying to use your faith and the lottery as substance, I'm just telling you, it's not a good, it doesn't line up here. But these are people that made the Scripture, and these are people that the anointed Christian fathers way back when put this in there. So let's look at the stories and just remember these are God ordained to be here today. Mark 2:1, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And how many knows when you hear Jesus is in the house, people will come. How many just said, I came today because I heard Jesus was going to be in the house. You know, you could feel him, couldn't you, when we were singing praise to him and lifting him up. And that's why we came, or hopefully that's why you came, is because you knew Jesus would be in the house. We're talking about his word, and this is how God speaks to us, is through his word. We talk to God when we call it prayer. We go and we spend time in conversation and thought and meditation to God, and we call that prayer. And then he speaks to us mainly through this. This is when God talks to us. That's why it's important that you know this if you want to have a fulfilled life and a significant life, because you can agree with his word. Okay? So it says he's in the house. They heard he was in the house. And then immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. Can you get the picture? There's a house, and it doesn't say if it's large or small. And usually with a crowd that Jesus hung around, they probably wouldn't too big, but you know, he did go over to sinners' house and tax collectors, and he would visit people that had really large homes. If it didn't matter to him, did it? If you had if it's going to your funeral or to your house, it didn't matter to him. Is there was all, he was Jesus wherever he was. He didn't, you know, he didn't make a distinction on like we do today, kind of clothes you wear, the kind of house you live in, the kind of car you drive. But whatever kind it was, it does tell us that it was full. It says there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. You couldn't even get near the door to get in the house to where he was. And said, and he preached the word to them. He preached the word to them. And then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And so they've had some kind of a makeshift bed, and their men are carrying it. They heard about Jesus, and this is their substance. Their substance is, we have heard that Jesus is here, and their substance was, we're going to take our friend and make sure he gets to Jesus. See, that's their substance. That's what motivates them to put him on a bed and use their energy to carry him however far they came to Jesus Christ. That's their substance. Faith. In fact, let me read you something, because I think this is really a really clear picture of what how we would word it today. In Hebrews 11:1, I usually preach out of the New King James, but today I want to read you something from the Living Bible, because I just think it says it really well, the way it should be said in our language. And it says, Hebrews 11:1, what is faith? It says, it is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It's the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. I just like that. I think that really states it in a way we would term that in our English language today. Let me just read it one more time. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is certainty that we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Now, they had heard that Jesus was there, and so they were taking him to this place, this geographical location where they heard Jesus was. That's their substance. Because it's kind of vague, isn't it, sometimes? What is substance? What is, well, it's we know where we are. Our friend is crippled. Maybe it was at one of their hands. Maybe they were working on a project together and one of them made a mistake or did something wrong. It doesn't say, but somehow now he's a paralytic, and their substance is, we're going to help him. Whatever it takes, we're going to get him to Jesus. Have you ever had people like that? That you thought, whatever it takes, I'm going to intercede for you. Maybe not physically take them, but you're going to take them before Jesus Christ in your prayers and your thoughts, and I'm going to take you. One of my cousins, give you an example. He lived in Texas. We grew up together. And they would come up usually to our house, and they'd spend sometimes a week at a time, and we would play down on the creek. I lived out in the country on 160 acres of little horses and cattle and all that, and we'd go down the creek, and we would play like Tarzan, and we'd swing across the creek with grapevines and all this stuff, you know. And we got older, and I found Christ, and I said to him one day, we was talking, and I said, you know, I'm gonna hold you up before Jesus every day. I said, you're going to go to heaven if I have to drag you there. Do you understand me? I know. I will someday, you know. And then about we went to their house one day. We was down at their house, and I said, I want to, you know, we went golfing and things. He loved to golf, and so we was golfing and go out the lake and just having fun with them, Jan and I and the kids. And so I said, I'd like to go see this preacher I heard about in Texas is near their house, and could we go? And so he said, yeah. So we went there that day, and sure enough, you know, when the altar call came, I watched him raise his hand and walk down. I said, yeah, this is a trip I've been praying for over 2 years. See, I was taking my friend. The substance was that my prayers and my talking to Jesus would get him there. And so it took a long time, but that was my substance. That's what kept me praying. That's what kept me hoping. And so these individuals, they can go physically to Jesus, and so that's their substance. Just to get a picture of what substance is, it's what you believe will happen if you act or in this manner. That's the substance, you know. Some of you guys, when you were before you were married and you were courting your wife, you know, the substance was you hoped she liked you, right? And you couldn't see it yet, but you know, she looked your way. She gave you encouragement, right? And so you pursued the relationship. And maybe the same with a career or whatever. There's some kind of hope there that you're here, but you're going to be there. Substance. There has to be something. It's more than just wish and dream or like I said, spinning the lottery. It's more than that. So they're carrying him to Jesus. But verse 4, and when they could not come in to, near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. Now, when I read that, I thought, you know, if you're the writer of this story, they uncovered the roof. But if that is your house, they tore a freaking hole in your roof. Are you with me? It's a lot different, isn't it, if it's your roof? You know, Brian and April got a new house, and I'm sure if they, Jesus appeared and there's a big crowd and I'd come over to your house and I had somebody I wanted to come and touch Jesus and I couldn't get there and I was tearing up your roof, you wouldn't say, oh, he uncovered our roof. So it all depends on who's telling the story, right? Especially the woman. You know, you women, can you imagine somebody tearing your roof off so they can get to Jesus? You know, I mean, wouldn't that quench the spirit just a little bit, don't you think? Who's paying for this? Well, I'm not, you know. And then here's something else. You know, you're talking faith. When we're talking about faith, it's a substance. How many knows there's always risk? How many knows when I was holding up my cousin in prayer, he didn't have to come. He's a free moral agent. But I just kept injecting that, you know, I'm holding you up for a prayer. Same way with a friend of mine that, remember Roy that I prayed for a long time, and every time I'd see him, we'd be out in the strangest places because, you know, he was a cattle rancher and I had some cattle, and so it'd be in the hay field or down at the lot, and I'd say, you about ready to come to Jesus today? Oh, not yet, you know, and just kind of, but I kept that substance, that hope that he was coming to Christ, you know, but here's something else I know that could have quenched the spirit, and there's risk, even when you know there's substance there, and you know it's a good track, there's risk involved. You know, my cousin may not come. Roy might not come to Christ. I may pray in vain. You know, I mean, there's that risk. They don't have to. Here's something that I thought that was kind of disturbing the other day, and I'll give it to you so you can wrestle with it. We're studying the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations we read the other night, where there war broke out in heaven. Talking about Lucifer, the old dragon or Satan, the devil they call him. And the thought hit me, oh my God, if war broke out in heaven with that atmosphere, one time it could happen again. It could happen again. You think, well, that's not likely because we see the result of Satan and the third of the angels that were cast in the bottomless pit and will be thrown in there after they've completed their task that God has assigned them to forever and ever. But I thought, there's a possibility. And that just kind of, that was just kind of depressing, and I wanted to pass that along to you all, I guess. So pray, okay? Pray for peace in heaven. Peace in heaven. Maybe that's why he said pray for peace in Jerusalem, because I mean, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and Jerusalem's going to be his headquarters, so pray for peace, you know. Maybe that's all tied together. But I thought, wow. But then you think about it, and here's the deal. You know what? The risk comes because, just like the war broke out in heaven, here's the risk. The risk is we're all free moral agents. The angels are. We are. And so when you have free moral agents, how many knows your children are free moral agents? Have you ever butted heads with your kids because they are free moral agents? You train them better, right? Then they just screw up. You say, yeah, it's like your mother. What's the matter with you? You know, or whatever. I'm just using that as some people do, not us. But yeah. Because they're free moral agents. We want them. We train them. We teach them. But there's a risk there because the free moral agent that they may, you know, how many knows your kids can live in poverty or in prison if that's where they choose to go? They're free moral agents. And that's why we pray and intercede and try to counsel and give them direction and input into their life, because we want them to live a good life. one of our parishioners called this week and said one of her grandchildren had hung himself. And now he's struggling for life. And just lift him up, and if they want him revealed, we'll do that. But you know about it, so lift him up in prayer. Her, when I talked to her yesterday, she said, my desire is that God will give him one more chance at life. And so we're praying and agreeing for chance for life one more time. But that free moral agent, that free will plays into that, see? And so it's just a terrible thing. But we're praying and we're using our faith. And our substance is we're taking it to a throne that we believe exists. We believe is there. Or we wouldn't be praying. Okay? People have needs and they call for prayer because they want us, like this guy was taken to Jesus. When little Shane was crushed with a truck the other day, first thing my daughter did was, Dad, pray. Call the prayer, you know. Because that's what she was taught, that we can take people that we love, and just like they brought him physically, we can bring them spiritually to Christ, and it makes a difference. That's our substance that we're talking about. We believe that. That's where our heart is. That's where we live. And so that turned out very well. And you know, and he's fine today. So they tore off the roof. They uncovered the roof. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed which the paralytic was lying. Here's something else that could have quenched the spirit. I don't know if you've ever been around construction much, but I have quite a bit in my life. And I know if you're directly underneath anything that's being tore out of the ceiling and the roof, there's stuff going to come down all over your head and go down in your collar, and it's just not a good place to stand. And remember, the house is so crowded, they can't even get in the door, so they're just packed in there, and all of a sudden there's people, you know, and then all of a sudden it's just a bunch of stuff coming. Now, I don't know about you, we're all Christians, right, so that wouldn't bother any of us, would it? We'd be just like Jesus, wouldn't we? Well, look at those men's faith. Isn't that something? Man, that's cool, isn't it? We'd be just like Jesus, wouldn't we? No, we wouldn't, would we? In fact, it's a risk. It's a risk that you don't make all these people just fighting mad. You know, they got up early to come. If you wanted my spot, you should have been here early too. I could have slept in and come through the roof myself, you know. But I didn't. I got up early so I could come get this place. You're the kind of people that goes to a concert and stand in line or something's on sale and you go camp out. That's the kind of people that was in the house. So you got a lot of tenacity, you know. So you're not giving up your spot. And they knew they weren't giving up their spot, so they let him down through the roof. But now they've got the risk of the owners getting upset. They've got the risk of all the people they're pouring this, you know, that all this dirt and whatever's falling is on these individuals, that they're going to be upset. But they're going to get their friend to Jesus. That's their hope and that's their substance, see. The hope and the substance is, we got our friend and we can't go through the crowd. But faith says, oh no, we just can't go through the crowd. Remember the song? God will make a way where there seems to be no. Their faith says, we just can't get through the crowd. We believe we can get to Jesus. We just can't go through the crowd. So we're going through the roof. Let me ask you something. Whenever you see something by faith and you know there's a substance there, there's something there. You don't know maybe it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see the route yet. You can't see the direction, just how you're going to get there. But you just know in your heart and mind that, you know what, this is it. I'm headed to there, and you don't know how you're going to get there exactly, but you just know you're going to. And that's what they had in their heart and mind. We don't know exactly because we can't get through the crowd, but we know we're going to get to him today somehow, and they made a way. That's what you're doing whenever you know this is where you're supposed to go. This is where you are. This is where you're supposed to go. Now, have faith. Faith says, I don't know everything, but the substance is, I will do one step at a time. I will do whatever I can, and God will do what I can't. But I'm going to get to that point right there. They didn't know what Jesus would say. Remember last week when we looked at the lady that had the demon-possessed daughter, and the first thing when she came to Jesus, what did he say? He wouldn't even give her the time of day, wouldn't even speak to her. Remember that? And I told you, I said, your feelings can destroy your faith. Hers didn't, did it? I'm so glad they put that story in the Bible, aren't you? Because her faith says, you know, the first impression of Jesus, if you're that lady, is terrible, isn't it? Oh, this is the great healer, huh? Won't even give me the time of day. Drag my little demon-possessed girl out here and he won't, you know. So there's a risk. There's a risk. And then he says, I can't give my bread to the dogs. I don't know about you, but a lot of you ladies, that would have offended you. I know, because I've talked less harsh than that, and it offended you. So you have to, you know, there's risk of not, you know, when you get there, it's not going to be like you think. And then Jesus, what does Jesus say? When Jesus saw their faith, he didn't see the hole in the roof. He didn't see the dirt falling on people. He didn't see that they were tearing up somebody's private property. He saw their faith. Let me tell you something, church. We need to get eyes of Christ so we can see what Jesus is seeing when things are going on. You know what we see sometimes? We see some dirty rink sinner, you know, we see something on the news and we criticize somebody that's killed their child, or, you know, instead of saying, oh my God, we need to intercede and we need to, you know, we see the critical part, but we don't see the part that says, what can I do to make it better? You know, what can I do? We just criticize and think it's awful and going about our day, you know, eating and sleeping and taking care of our stuff. It's a picture, man, when he's tearing the roof off and all of a sudden they look and Jesus, he saw their faith. Didn't see obstruction of property, didn't see people, you know, backing up and trying to get out of the way. He saw their faith. He saw their faith. He saw their faith. And he said to the paralytic, and because they've let him down, you know, kind of landing there on Jesus, and he said, sons, your sins are forgiven. Now, watch this. This is kind of important here because it says, and some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So the only people that in the house were offended was the religious people. That's why people don't like us. Do you hear me? That's why people don't like the church. Because we can always see the critical part and say it. How many knows the truth should set you free? But all I'm saying is, you know what? He said, love your neighbor, didn't he? Just love your neighbor. Oh, he said, while you're at it, go ahead and love yourself. That's a pretty good combination. If we just love Jesus, love our neighbor, and love ourselves, we'd be pretty happy campers in life. And we love our neighbors if they're lovable, right? I'll love them if they're lovable. But now, what's his name down the street? You know. I'm just saying there's things here that can have a bearing on our faith. Faith is something hoped for, but when we start quenching the Spirit, because we do what these guys did, and they're not upset about the dirt or the hole. They're upset about his power and authority that he actually has and they don't have. And they don't have. It's kind of like Oral Roberts. You know, Oral Roberts dedicated most of his life to healing ministry, and the only people that I ever heard criticize him was the body of Christ. It's the only people I ever heard. I never heard, you know, sinners, maybe they did, but I never heard one of them criticize Oral Roberts for just following his calling and following that path. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, you know, the men and fathers of faith, and I don't agree with everything they say, you know, but I certainly don't criticize them. I give God praise for them, and I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time, he said, what are you always just preaching on faith for? He said, because that's my part. That's my part. I mean, everybody's got a part. Everybody's got a part that you play on. You know, that's how you have faith. It's when you're in your part, when you're doing what God calls you to do. I mean, those all these musicians and praisers this morning, they got faith that they can do a part. That's why they're up there. That's why they're playing the pianos and the keyboards and the guitars and things, is because they got a part. They believe they can. You know why you're sitting out here? Because you believe you can't. And you're probably right. Or your season's over, or it's at a different time, or whatever, but you're down here, and they're up there because they believe they can. They're playing their part. Jesus is just doing His part. He's here. He's saying your sins are forgiven. He knows the mind of Christ or God and what He's fixing to do. And he says, but immediately when Jesus perceived in verse 8 in His spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take your bed and walk? Which one is easier, He says? But you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed and went in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Their substance and their faith paid off, didn't it? Their friend walks out. He comes in a paralytic. He walks out whole. Faith paid off. You ever prayed a prayer? Substance of your faith, you know, is hope, right? And so you pray and you pray and you pray, and the answer is no. You ever pray one of them no prayers? Something that really meant something to you? I have. When my cousin, we were sounding boards for each other, and every so often we'd just call or go visit each other with both pastors, and he got cancer, and then it looked like he was healed for a season, and it came back, and it's just awful, awful death. Just really hacked me off at God, because I knew he could. You know, he was like 61 or so, and I knew he had a lot of life left, but he just said no, and he took him home. I had a family gathering yesterday, and one of them said, you ever miss Butcher? And they call him Butcher. I said, all the time. I said, he was one of my... There's few people in life. How many know you can just let that inner circle that know you and know your faults and all your flaws? And I lost that in him. And he knew where I was at as a pastor, and, you know, knew things that, you know, unless you pastored, you just don't know. But the answer was no. But I took my prayer and my faith, and I took it to the throne. I don't know how many times, and so did the family and everybody. But the answer just was no. So you just say, well, okay then. I'm not happy, but okay. And you get over it. You go on, because I know my next meeting will be over on the other side with Him. I'll get up there and he'll say, come here and I'll show you something. I just know he will, because that's what he does. So he was healed and everybody was amazed, and it worked out, right? Turn with me to Mark the 5th chapter. Just go over a few pages. Mark the 5th chapter. Can you see, though, how faith, and I hope you see it, that faith with these guys was James says, faith without works is dead. That was their substance, that was their work, that was their action step, if you will, to go forward and to say, this is the substance of our faith. We're going to take our friend to Jesus Christ. That's all they knew for sure. They didn't know if he'd heal, if it would turn out that way. They didn't probably know a lot of things, but they took him and they did what they felt like they should do. That's your substance of your faith. That wasn't something real supernatural, but it was a action to what they said they believed, and they followed pursuit. That's your substance. And it's really important if you want to go from where you are in any situation to where you want to be, use your faith and create some kind of forward movement toward that. And God, just like Jesus, will look up at some point and He'll see your faith. He saw their faith. He saw them bringing the guy to them, and He'll look at you at some point because He sees you heading in that direction. How many of you have ever had your kids when they're little want to do something, want to achieve something, and it was just a little bit above them, but you knew if you could help them, they could pull it off, you know? And so you help them, you give them resources or what, and they get from where they are to where they want to go because you saw them head in the direction, you saw their want to, their desire, and you help them, and that's what God does for us. He helps us, He enables us to get from where we are to where we desire to be. Now, the next person, this is about her. You know, this the first group was about the man and his friends. This is a woman that's on her own. And for some of you that have trouble, you think, well, I'm alone, or I don't have a lot of support, or you know what? It's not about how many friends you have, or how much money you have, or don't have. What matters is really your faith to believe that God sees you and God cares about you, and then move in that direction. Are you with me? Now, look at this in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. There was a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. This woman is hemorrhaging for 12 years, the Bible says, losing blood. Now, it doesn't say if it was her monthly cycle. And let me tell you something. If that was the case, where it's her monthly cycle, you know what? It meant for 12 years, wherever she went, she was considered unclean. And everything she touched was considered unclean. And anybody who touched her was considered unclean. If that's the case. It doesn't say, but I'm just saying, you know, the severity of this story is at best terrible. You imagine hemorrhaging for 12 years, losing blood for 12 years, and not having the technology we have, but still she's doing everything she can. It says, and had suffered many things. From many physicians. I know if I ask you individually, what's your opinion of doctors? I would get a varied opinions. Some of you just don't go to the doctor. Men are famous for not going to the doctor. You don't get a yearly checkup. It's kind of like if I don't know I'm sick or got something, it'll be okay. Kind of an ostrich approach. I'll stick my head in the sand and it should be all right. And then some of you go when you just have to. You know, your body, you fall down on the ground or whatever, you go. You know, so, oh, it's time to go to the doctor. I usually go get a yearly checkup just because they say we need one. You know, they can suggest things or tell you your cholesterol count is up or down or what you need to watch. And it's really good stuff. Good to see you, Lori. Miss Lori's been battling some sickness. She's home today. It's good to see her. So she had suffered many things for 12 years. And then if that's not bad enough, she had spent all that she had and was no better. Isn't that discouraging? When you feel bad for a little while and you just spend all that you really can spend and you don't feel better. Can you imagine 12 years through many doctors, you spent everything you've got, now you're broke and you feel worse. That's a bad situation, isn't it? She feels worse. I remember a few years ago, I was finishing my master's degree and we had a class up at one of the churches, big church up north, and I was there and I had bronchitis. Probably was contagious, you know, but I finished this class, you know. And it was a Pentecostal church and they sang and they sang and they sang and they praised the Lord and praised the Lord and praised the Lord. Because that's what they do. And that, you know, and I was just feeling bad. And I think, oh, just preach and let's go home, you know. And shouldn't have been there, really. I was probably, you know, quenching the spirit or something. But and then I went home, and then for about another week and a half, I felt terrible. I mean, I was laying on the couch, and I couldn't get comfortable. And I can remember thinking, God, either heal me or take me home. I hate this. I hate this. 2 weeks. I know what some of you's fought a lot of sickness is saying, you're such a sissy. I realize that, you know. But I'm just telling you, that's how I felt. I just thought, I don't want to live like this. Either heal me or take me home. And I went to the doctor and they give me stuff, but it's bronchitis. It's terrible. Best thing that ever happened to me, Cliff and Thelma brought me some homemade chicken noodle soup and that salt and that warmth and stuff, that was... If you had brought that earlier, you know, I'd have probably been all right, you know. That's good medicine. If you ever have bronchitis, tell her, make some of that homemade chicken noodle soup and bring over here, would you? I need the healing. I think it runs all the demons out of my house, you know, just that anointed chicken noodle soup. But it's been everything. And you know, it's one thing to be sick, and it's another thing to be sick and broke, isn't it? I'm telling you, big difference. You got money, and you got, you know, to get you whatever you need and take care of things. You don't have to stress about whatever, you know, that take care of your own personal needs. That's one thing. But when you're broke and you're sick, that's bad. And it was for 12 years. 12 years. Now, I'm not trying to paint a terrible picture. I'm just trying to paint reality. So we can say, you know what? It doesn't matter where you are and how long you've been there. What matters is, do you have faith to get better from where you are to where you want to go? The question is, do you want to get better? That's the question. Doesn't matter how long it is and how severe and how broke you are or how bad you feel. And here's her substance. What's verse 27? And when she heard about Jesus. She heard, didn't she? That's her first thing. Now, here's the thing. You can hear about the cure. You can hear about remedies. You can hear about things, but that's not really what's important. What's important is, what are you going to do about it, right? That's the important thing. But the first step is still hearing. Remember when you came to the altar at some point, I don't know if it was here or somewhere else, but you heard about Jesus, you heard about repenting, and you finally, you got up and you came forward. That was your walk of faith down to the altar to receive. That was your substance. That I think he's calling and I'm going. He'd called me like two or three times to come down to the altar. Friends would go in different times and family that would be there, and I didn't go. Finally, in 1970, when I was 15 years old, the call was given, and I knew it was my time, and I got up and I walked down the front. All I could say was this to the little Baptist preacher: I have sinned. It's just like, you know, I got to get this out of here. I've sinned, and it's terrible. And you know, I had like an Opie Taylor life with a good mom and dad and country living and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, when the light of Christ was shining on my heart, I was like a dirty, rank sinner. But I finally went. That was my faith walk. I went down and came to the front, you know. So she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And now watch this. Here's her substance. For she said, let me ask you something, church. What are you saying about the situation you need faith for? What are you saying about it? The issues in life that you need faith for, what are you saying about them? It matters. It matters. What you believe matters. And what you hear and what you say matters. If you want to get from where you are to where you need to be and want to be, where you hope to be, what you say matters. She said, "I am only, if only I may touch his clothes." Now that doesn't really line up with a lot of the scripture. You know, it says to lay hands on for those that are sick, to pray for those that are sick. But in her heart, this is her substance. She didn't say, "I need to talk to him." She didn't say, "I need to break open the roof and, you know, and hug him or get his audience." She just said, "If I can just touch his garment." That was her faith, wasn't it? Let me tell you something. Your faith may be different than somebody else's. It's, "Oh, no, you need to do it this way." You know, it may be different, but you know what? If that's what you feel you need to do, that's probably what you need to do. And so she says, "If I could," so she heard and she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." One of my sisters, next to oldest sister, I have four sisters. My next to oldest sister, probably most of you remember, she had cancer, and they told her down at Ada, Oklahoma, where she lives, they said within 6 months they opened her up to do surgery, and they saw a big tumor, like grapefruit size, in her lower abdomen. They said, "It's just too severe. There's nothing we can do." And they sewed her up and gave her 6 months to live, and they called me and said, "You know, this is the surgery was terrible, and they've got her back in the recovery, and then they'll take her. Could you be here when she comes out of recovery?" And I said, "I'll come." So I just immediately left and went to Ada, And when she woke up in the room, I was there, and I felt so unappreciated. She said, "Oh my God, you called the preacher. What's wrong?" I felt like Andrew the death angel or something, you know. That's what I felt like. And I said, "Well, there is something wrong, sis. But we believe that God's bigger than this, and we're going to pray, and we're going to." And she started crying, but I'll never forget. My older sister said, remember what she said, if I can. My older sister, she didn't have the faith to say it, so my older sister is kind of like those four guys that had the paralytic. She said, "Get up," when she went home, "we're going to the city and get another opinion." You know what my sister said? "I'm too sick. I can't go. I'm throwing up and I feel terrible." And she said, "Well, get your trash can and you can throw up in my car on the way up there. We're going." So she told her. So she got her trash can and laid in the back of the car and puked and came to Oklahoma City. Now watch, her substance was my sister, wasn't it? Partly. She said, and then the other part is she knew that she had a creator that might help her. Now, the healing came. She went to OU Medical Center. OU Medical Center said, they looked at it and said, they told her, I don't know if this is true, but they said there's no such thing as inoperable cancer, and we'll operate. They took the thing out, and they did some severe treatments on her, and that's been several years ago, and she's just healthy as she can be, and she does all kinds of charity work and active in her church but somebody had to say, and I know this wasn't through supernatural means, but she was healed, and I think it's just as much faith for her to have a sister that says for her as it is for this woman to say for herself. Now, what do you do if you say and the answer is no? Then you say, well, then what's next? Jesus. That's all you can do. That's where I differ from the faith camp. Faith camp says, well, you just confess it and you say it, and that's what will come to pass. Well, there's a sovereign God that rules everything. When Jesus said, "Hey, how about let's have another thing? I'd really rather not die for Jack on the cross. Let's go another route. How about that?" And God said, "No, you're going to the cross for Jack and for you." The answer to his own son was no. So if the answer is no, then if you're not just so hung on whatever I say is going to happen, then you have the recourse to say, well, God said no. You know, and he's still God, and I'm still in good relationship with him, and we'll go on from here. You know, that's where I differ with the faith camp. She said, "If I can only touch his clothes," immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. No more pain. 12 years. And listen, I don't know about you, but do you want to really go out and be around a crowd when you're sick? When people say, "Oh, I didn't even know you're sick. I'd have called you. I'd come over." I said, "Well, if you know I'm sick, just pray and stay home and don't bother me, okay?" I know that's not very nice, but that's the way I am. Unless you bring me soup, okay? You can bring me some soup. Hammy's just like that, though. You know, when I'm sick, just pray for me, but don't call me, because I don't want to talk to you. You know, just pray for me, and I'll appreciate that when I get well, and I'll tell you how much I love you and appreciate it when I'm well. But right now, you know, I just don't come over. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out. Isn't that amazing to me? Isn't that amazing to you too? She heard and she said and she did what she said and she received. "I can just touch his clothes, I'll be well." But she'd been saying that for 12 years. "If I can just get to this doctor, I think this doctor's the one. I think this is the one." That's called misplaced faith, isn't it? Had her faith in the wrong place. You ever had your faith in the wrong place? That's what happens when you get divorced. You had your faith in the wrong place, evidently. "Till death do us part. For better or worse," and you say, "I just didn't know how worse it was going to get." Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd. And doesn't this sound haughty? Sounds so haughty that, who touched my clothes? Can you imagine people that didn't know Jesus? Who touched his clothes? Well, whoopee-doo, who touched his clothes? Don't touch his clothes. That statement, if you don't understand what's going on, just sounds so haughty, doesn't it? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples, they don't get it. They're clueless as the crowd. His disciples said to him, seeing the multitude thronging you. They say, seeing the multitude thronging you. And let me say this. The little widow was having to go through a crowd that's thronging him. She had to press her way after 12 years of hemorrhaging. She had to press her way all through this crowd to touch the hem of his garment. Faith sometimes is not easy, is it? To exercise your faith means I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to go do what I probably wouldn't do. But by faith, I think this is where the answer is. That's your substance. If you lose your substance, you'll have no hope and you'll receive nothing. Are you with me? She says, his disciple says, you said, who touched me? Really? Addie will say something and Addie will say, really, Papa? Really? That's kind of what they were. Really? Who touched your clothes? Really? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. As the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Be healed of your affliction. She heard and she said and she did what she said would make her well. Listen, I believe God is still giving, He's still speaking to His sheep. He said, my sheep know my voice. And if we'll do what we hear and say it and do it, God's still in the faith-giving miracle business. But we need to hear. We need to hear what Jesus is saying. We need to be in tune. When Jesus would go out and he'd do something, he'd say, I don't do anything unless I hear my Father. See, he was in tune with the Holy Spirit as well as the written Word. So we have to line up with God's Word. And then I want to show you one more. I won't be very long and we'll be out here before noon. But I want to show you one more. Go to John, the 5th chapter. Because here's one that I think is worth just mentioning on persevering faith. For some of you, listen to me. For some of you that right now your resources are just very limited, and you think, man, I couldn't, you know, I don't even have faith. I couldn't, if faith cost a nickel, I couldn't buy any. You know. And you're just discouraged and stuff. Listen, I want to show you a faith story real quickly and then we'll close. But it's not about, you know, that woman was sick. She'd spent all she had. But here's a guy that can't even move. And he don't have any friends. Remember, the group number one had friends that loved him and took him and was his intercessors. And then the lady, she was sick, but she still had enough physical health to go through a big crowd and push her way through, even though she didn't feel like it. And she touched his garment. Jana's got a nephew that's married to a young lady, and she's had cancer. They pronounced years ago, probably 15 years ago maybe or longer, that she wouldn't make it. And her radiation treatment thing, you know, it was just terrible, you know. It's just burning her insides up. She's still alive today. Loves life. She's not well. She's like the little lady of 12 years, but I'm telling you, she loves life. She loves family. We had a Easter gathering down at her place. She was in the hospital while we were there, and she told her husband, you go home and you take care of your family. There's nothing you can do for me, and come back whenever, when you, about 90-something of us family gathered down at his house, and she's in the Ardmore Hospital, but now she's out, and they just got back from Tennessee because they want to go out and do some sightseeing, and she just loves life, but she's got that faith that little woman had, you know, just because they told her that we can't do anything for you. And she just keeps fighting and pressing through. And there's something to this faith stuff. There's something to it. In fact, I was impressed with your prayer today, Jan, for the young man that had tried to commit suicide. I thought when you reminded me of one of the guys that was carrying the paralytic when you said, God, give him the will to live. Oh, that's very insightful on your part as an intercessor. She's a great intercessor. But she said, give him the will to want to live. I thought, that's good, because if he don't have the will, he don't have a chance, does he? He don't have that hope. He don't have that substance. But this guy here, let's look at him real quick and we'll close. After the feast, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went to Jerusalem. And now there's Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew Bethesda, which means the house of kindness. Isn't that a cool place? The house of kindness. Having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. Now get the picture. There's sick people laying everywhere around this pool. And they're blind, they're lame, they're paralyzed, and they're waiting for the moving of the water. They're waiting for the moving of the water. And this is kind of an unusual thing that you don't see anywhere else, I don't think, in the Scripture, where the angel, it says, for the angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. We've been talking about angels in our Wednesday night Bible study and their assignments. And this one's assignment evidently was just to anoint the waters, you know, with his wing or toe or whatever he did, you know, but he touched the waters. And when he anointed the waters, it stirred them up. It said, whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. Whatever disease they had. Isn't that unusual? I'd like to have one of those pools, wouldn't you? Yeah. And so he says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years. This guy's been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? 38 years. How many knows he could have been home? He could have been at grandma's. He could have been at mama's house. He could have been wherever, but he was at the pool where people are getting healed. He can't walk. He can't take himself over to the pool, but listen to what the sick man answered and said. And you're thinking, if you're standing there, you know, if Jesus asked you, do you want to be healed, just do this. But he's not even that sharp to do that. He says, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, did you hear that? While I'm coming. He can't walk, but I can just imagine this guy dragging his body with his arms or whatever still works, trying to push his way down to the water. I love that, don't you? I think that's when Jesus said, wow, I've heard about you. You're the one that just never, every time it rustles, you don't have anybody help you, but man, you're headed toward the water with everything that you've got. How many knows that's faith? If you're doing everything you have and it's not enough, don't worry about that. That is faith. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, don't quit trying. Just, you know, if that's all you know to do and you're trying to head where you have faith for, just keep pushing whatever you can push that direction. And he says, while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Now, did you notice what he said? I have no man to put me in the pool. Guess what? The stirring of the water and the anointing of the water, that's part of his substance. His other substance that he's hoping for is a man to put him in the pool. Guess what Jesus is? The man. He said, if I can get to the pool and if I had a man to help me, well, the man just showed up. And thank God the man wasn't critical of him. I didn't ask you to tell you you need somebody. I asked you if you want to be well. He didn't say that, did he? Jesus just said, you know what? Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, walked, and that day was the Sabbath. And guess again who was stirred up about the healing? It was the Pharisees and the scribes, because he healed on the Sabbath and the man was carrying his bed. And everybody knew, all the religious crowd knew that this was the guy that had laid by the pool, and they questioned mom and dad, and they questioned all these people, and you know, but you know what? They're the only ones that's upset about him being healed and carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And Jesus, he said, what are you carrying your bed for? The religious people, what are you carrying your bed for? And he said, because Jesus told me to. This is a little different subject, but I think we need it to help us today. And that is when you're doing whatever you're doing for Christ and you're living out your morals and values according to what you believe the Scripture teaches, and not you're not altering it according to your lifestyle that you want or plan that you want for yourself, but you're saying, I'm following this the best I can, and I believe this is the life that God told me to live. When somebody looks at you and criticizes you, you look at them and say, because Jesus told me to, okay? Nobody knows what you need to live. Now, if it contradicts this and you're living contradictions to the Scripture, then you need to change your confession. It's a bad confession. They said, I'm carrying my bed because Jesus told me to. But I'm telling you, if you have no help and it's been a long time, Jesus is your man. You just keep heading toward Jesus. You just keep dragging whatever you can drag toward Jesus. Well, it's been a long time. I've been hoping and praying. Well, just keep hoping and keep praying and keep... And Jesus may just come along and He may see you coming down to the roof, or He may see you dragging yourself down by the pool, but He'll see you in your efforts, and somewhere He's going to meet you and give you some relief. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us what enduring faith looks like, what substance of things of faith looks like. It's not setting and pouting. It's not setting and wishing and setting and hoping, but it's going forward with whatever we've got and whatever you've given us to go forward with. Whether it's dragging our sick body down to the doctor again, or dragging our sick body to the altar, or trying to do whatever, just using what you've got and you've given us, that is faith. And so I pray today, Lord, for all those that have issues in here that they need resolve, they need healing, they need help, they need restoration, they need finances, whatever their area that they're suffering and hurting in today, I pray over them, and I pray, God, that you'll give them an extra measure of faith to keep going forward and to see the future better than it is right now. That it'll be better than it is right now because I believe that in a God that wants to bless and help and be my great I am, whatever you need, God said, I am. You want to be that for us. So I just pray for an increase of faith today for all those that are facing issues that are bigger than them. Give them that substance and help them, God, to start walking and acting on it. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen.